I'm Lucille Sorella, and I'm here today with image and style consultant Alice Kim. I want to just thank everybody for submitting their questions. We got some really good ones, so let's jump right in. You ready, Alice?
I'm ready.
All right. So the first question comes from Julia, and this is actually a really great question. She asks, is there an age that you better stop cross-dressing? I'm 65 by now, and I don't think to stop because it's so nice. I'm just going to give my opinion here. I think the answer is a definite no. There's no age to stop cross-dressing because there's no age to stop expressing who you are. But, Alice, this is your call, so why don't you give us your opinion?
No, I absolutely agree with you, Lucille. I mean, there's no age limit to when you're going to stop being yourself, right? So I think that especially because Julia really enjoys doing what she does, I don't think that there's any reason why she should stop now. And I think it's wonderful that she's getting such a great experience out of it and she enjoys, you know, her cross-dressing and, I mean, keep going.
Absolutely. And, Alice, you actually had a lot of really good points in the NFEMme fashion guide about dressing for your age and how that does actually need to change. So you don't need to stop cross-dressing at any point, but your style through the years might change. So could you just talk maybe just briefly just to remind us all about some of those points for dressing age appropriately?
Sure. You know, when at every age that we go through, we're going to have different life experiences, and on top of that, your body is going to change. Everything's going to change. Every part of our lives, you know, the constant is that things are going to change. So, of course, that's going to carry over to your fashion and your style. The best thing to do is, first of all, you know where you are at your point in life and then see how you can express that. And oftentimes the best way to get some good ideas, obviously, is through celebrities. So if you have any particular celebrities in your age group that you admire, maybe you want to start checking some images or some footage of them online or something and start from there. But mostly it's about your experiences changing, and with that I think that your ability to express who you are as an individual changes, and that's the most important part about having personal style. So I think that more than anything, more than, oh, stop wearing a mini skirt after you're 40 years old, more than that, it's just really about expressing who you are personally as an individual.
Hmm. And I really liked what you said in the guide. I don't remember if it was in the video or if it was in one of the reports, but you said that being sexy at any age or really having style at any age is accepting your age. The older I get, the harder that is to do, but I really like that, and that was a real big takeaway for me personally. And I think that is key, is it's really accepting where you are and being cool with being a really hot and sexy 30-year-old and 40-year-old and 50-year-old and 60-year-old. So good stuff there.
And I think that, you know, the thing about sexiness is that I find that most women – they find themselves to feel a lot more genuinely sexier and comfortable with themselves as they age.
Mm-hmm.
So at
that point,
you know, expressing your sexiness and your sensuality and all those things, again, come with the experiences that you've had in your life, and which then means that it just gets better as you get older. So then at that point, all that skimpy, sexy, you know, so-called sexy outfits kind of fall off, and you're able to really express yourself. Self-confidence is basically the sexiest attribute that anyone can have.
Definitely, definitely. Good stuff there. Well, let's move on here. We've got a question from Rachel, and she asks, what is the preferred shade of sheer pantyhose for various events, time of day, what activity you're attending and going out? For example, some people say with a black skirt you should wear black hose, and some say nude hose. So it gets a little bit confusing. So I think the question that Rachel's asking here is, how do you decide between wearing black or nude hose with which outfit?
Okay. Well, in the fashion guide, I do specifically say that don't wear any other colored hose except true black and nude. So that's good that Rachel, good that she knows that you don't want to go, you know, beyond those two color ranges. And so besides that, what color should you wear depending on the occasion and the time of day? If you're wearing black, especially black skirt, I would recommend that you wear black hose just because that's going to help elongate your look in general. And then in addition to that, with perhaps a pair of black boots or black shoes, it will really make your half of your body longer and more uniform. In terms of the nude, you can also wear that. There's no rule against wearing nude, and obviously nude goes with everything, whereas black doesn't. The only key part of wearing nude pantyhose that I would like to add is that just make sure that they come as close to your skin tone as possible. Otherwise, it's going to look like you're wearing this kind of nude-colored pantyhose that I don't know, you ladies probably know what I'm talking about. It's like this kind of this orangey color. It just really looks like you're wearing pantyhose. And you know that pantyhose isn't as popular these days. So the only thing is you can wear nude hose anytime you want and prefer, but just make sure that they're very, very sheer and match the skin tone of your legs as close as possible.
Okay, great. Thank you. Carol's got another good question, actually, and she asks, I sometimes wear a made-to-measure corset to give myself a more convincing female body shape. The trouble is when I wear close-fitting garments to emphasize this newly formed figure, every detail of the corset's profile, such as lace and boning, seems to show through my clothes, so I would be eternally grateful if you could suggest a solution to this problem. So, big question. What is the answer, Alice?
Okay, so corsets are great to help shape your body and especially give you that really waspy waist and all that, those feminine features that you want. However, corsets are not as popular now for a reason, because when corsets were worn every day by women, it was because clothing were made to be worn with the corsets, over the corsets. But now we have clothing that isn't too friendly to corsets and all those bones showing through and any type of lace or any detail coming through. So that said, you can still wear corsets, but if at all possible, I would first suggest that you try a more modern version of the corset, which is the waist cincher. It's, first of all, much more comfortable to wear than a fully boned corset, but the waist cincher these days come with really super high powered elastic, and it should be able to at least take several inches off of your waistline without being as constricting as a corset. And I believe that they also have waist cinchers that come with boning, a little bit of boning too, but it won't be as protruding as a full-on corset. But that said, I think that if you just love wearing corsets, they're beautiful and they help you shape your body. Some of the clothing you should avoid when wearing them is obviously something that's very stretchy, has lycra in it. It's just going to stick right to the corset, and it'll show every little protrusion that comes out of there. And then avoid sheer fabrics and any delicate fabrics such as silks or anything that's clingy, because, again, it's going to make the corset show through. Some things that you can wear with corsets are perhaps tops with more structured and tailored styles would work really well. So maybe you want to wear a button-up shirt and then a jacket over it. Anything that hides the corset a little bit would obviously aid in it not being so obvious. And also, you know, people who are in parts of the world now where we're experiencing colder weather, this is the perfect time to wear corsets, because then you can wear thicker clothes and wear things like wool or any jackets, more outerwear, and that's going to help you hide it. The whole key is to hide it and not wear anything that is constricting or sheer that's going to stick to the corset and make it show through. obviously you want the corset to help enhance your figure and not be something that's going to take the attention away from you in that way, and it's going to make it look obvious that you're wearing something underneath to make you look a certain way.
Okay, that was really helpful, Alice. And I have seen a lot of waist cinchers that do have the boning, and you know, I think that waist cinchers in general have just come a long way, so that's always an option too. But obviously there's, you know, a corset that's going to give you maximum impact. So but there's also the option of the waist cinchers with the boning. So great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this kind of goes a little bit out of your domain, Alice, but I thought you might have some insight into this question from Christine Miller, which is how to choose a good hairstyle for yourself. Do you have any opinion on that, Alice?
Yes. Okay. So with everything that we've discussed so far in the fashion guide, you should know that your clothing, your coloring all depends on your unique coloring and shape. Good hairstyle also depends on the face of your shape. And then beyond that, you want to consider the overall proportion and shape of your body. But since it's hair, you want to concentrate on the face of your shape. The easiest thing to do is just go online and go through it. I'm sure there are tons of information online. Just go through a search engine and just put something like how to choose a good hairstyle, and it should probably come out with a lot of results that have illustrations of different types of face shapes and what kind of hairstyles look right with them. But for most TG women, I would think that generally speaking, you'd want to have a hairstyle that softens your facial features more. So anything that has a soft style is going to soften your jawline. Something like a soft wispy cut that frames the face with lots of layers is going to do that for you. Anything that's textured, lots of layers brushed toward your face is going to give you a little bit more of a softening of the angularity in the face, if that's what you want to conceal. So on the flip side, what you want to avoid is very geometric cuts, such as square cuts like bob that finish at the length of your jaw, any shortcuts, and especially haircuts that part in the center that's going to make everything in your face stand out, especially angularity in your cheekbones and your jaws. For instance, if you can picture is that character in Adam's Family, Morticia? Adams.
Yeah.
She has a severe center part, and you can see how severe her face and the angularity shows through from that. So stay away from that.
And speaking about hair, and you just touched really briefly about, you know, analyzing the color, your coloring and everything like that. Some of our listeners had questions about analyzing their color profile. So I wanted to ask you, Alice, to clarify a couple points there. The first question is, what should you do if you wear a wig? When you're analyzing your color profile, should you then analyze the color of the wig that you're going to be wearing with these clothes, or should you analyze your natural hair color?
Well, the best way to go about this process is to analyze your natural hair color and then acquire a wig according to what's going to flatter your coloring.
Mm-hmm.
But if you already have a wig or lots of wigs, then I would say go ahead and try to see if you can figure out if the wig is within your coloring, that's great. But if it's not, then perhaps you want to get a little creative so you can kind of fill in the gap between your natural coloring and the wig through clothing colors so that you can achieve a balance. But ideally, once you know your color profile, then you should go out and get the wig that fits your unique coloring.
And then, so is it possible that a woman's color profile changes? So, for example, if somebody wears a wig that's one color and then they have a wig that's a different color, is it possible for them to, say, be a spring with one wig and an autumn with another wig, or does the person generally just have one color profile no matter what their hair skin tone is or how it changes?
And that is a really good question, because we didn't address that too deeply in the fashion guide, just because we wanted to keep things more or less simple for people to understand. But it is true that oftentimes it is possible for your coloring to change depending on, it could be as you age. When your hair turns gray, let's say, then that changes everything. And even within the year, different seasons, if you get a tan, that could temporarily change your coloring a bit. But your undertone is going to more or less remain the same in most cases. That's why I think it's a good idea to constantly see where you're at during the season, because obviously, for me anyway, in the summertime, I do get a lot more color, and that changes a little bit about how I choose my makeup colors and so forth. So there is change. I wouldn't say it's a dramatic change, but it can change. But another thing about the seasonal palette that we were talking about is that although it's a four seasons, it's actually divided into, I would say, two parts. It's the warm coloring and the cool coloring. So a spring would be in the same warm category as an autumn, and a summer would be in the category with winter. So if you want to switch up those two seasons, depending on where you're at and what time of the year it is, then that would be a really good idea to consider. Either way, if you change up from a spring to an autumn and you get darker, you're still going to have warm tones with it. You would still be able to wear a lot of the colors that come in the autumn, even if you're originally a spring.
Cool.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, I like what you said about just sort of constantly analyzing yourself and, you know, with everything, things are constantly changing. Our bodies change, you know, hopefully not too much or change for the better, but things are always changing. Our skin and hair color is changing with the season. So, I think it's just good to stay on top of things. And, you know, I think some of the worst fashion tragedies that you see sometimes are people that are locked into a certain style. It's like they just got locked into their glory days from high school, and they continue to dress like that, you know, when they're 50. So it's really about changing with the changes.
Right. And as an example, I have a friend of mine. She was a very, very muted spring, very mousy hair, this sort of not blonde but not brunette, sort of like her overall coloring was a bit of a wash, I want to say. She's a really beautiful girl. But one day I meet up with her, and she has very, very dark hair, like dark as Courtney Cox's hair, or really dark, almost black hair. And that just made everything pop up, and I realized that she still colored her hair that she went that extreme, but she still went within the warm tones. So she didn't go for a blue-black hair, but she went for this really deep, rich, chestnut, warm brown hair. And that made all the difference. And all of a sudden, her season changed to deep autumn. But she was able to make that transformation. And she now, I feel like that was really a good move for her, because it really defined all the great features in her face. And, yeah, it was really good. So you can, just because you're, you know, within a certain season with a certain type of hair color, it doesn't mean that you can't change it up and have fun. And it might work out for the better.
Yeah, so have a little fun and experiment. Now, another thing, one thing we didn't talk too much about in the, I don't think we talked about it at all, actually, in the En Femme Fashion Guide, is outer garments, like coats, jackets, you know, winter scarves, hats, and gloves. And now that it's cold in many parts of the world, I was wondering, Alice, if you could just give us a few general guidelines to keep in mind.
Yes. First of all, fall and winter are really good seasons for TG women, simply because you don't have to worry so much about the heat, where you're going to have to wear less clothes. You get to cover up a lot this is going to be helpful because it will conceal a lot of the areas that you would probably want to conceal. And then on top of that, you can enhance certain parts of you. And all the covering up with the clothes is going to help with all of that process. Another good thing about fall and winter clothes is that there is more tailoring involved, which means that it gives it more structure. This could be a really good thing, especially with lots of belted styles, seamed styles. That's going to give you a lot more feminine shape. In terms of anything, any clothing, I would say just try to invest in the best quality that you can afford. It's, first of all, not only going to last you a longer time, but, you know, the quality really speaks for itself. Just make sure that you get them in more or less classic styles that are going to help you through many, many years. As for jackets and coats, again, try to find a really good quality wool jacket or coat. For jackets, it could be, depending on the season, you can get really good cotton qualities, but just make sure you get really good qualities. And then one thing about jackets is that you get to wear them twice in the year. That's half of the year, you know, in the springtime and in the fall, so it should be a good investment. Coats are wonderful, and for winter, it could be a really good statement-making article of clothing, so just make sure great quality, and also don't forget a really, really good fit. That really makes or breaks anything. And if you're going to wear a jacket and a coat, that's going to be, you know, it's going to be the topper for every outfit that you wear. It should really have a particularly good fit to your body frame. For jackets and coats, again, feminine shape, like I just talked about. So try to get something that's belted or has some kind of seaming and feminine details. That's going to help with the shape of your body. And you can also go the other way and go for perhaps a more dramatic shape, like a trapeze, where this time we're not talking about shape, but we're talking about the opposite of a shapely, but it's going to help hide a lot of your problem areas, but really make a statement with this grand shape that it's going to have, trapeze or a cocoon shape or anything like that. That's very dramatic. And then scarves should always think in terms of your color, because the scarf is going to frame your face. It's going to come right below your face. Anything, any color you put right below your face is going to affect how your face is going to look. It's going to make you look vibrant. It's going to make you look well-rested, or it could make you look sick. It could make you, you know, look like you haven't slept in 20 hours, or, you know, it all depends. So just make sure that your scarves, because it sits very close to your face, is going to be in a great color that's going to complement your face coloring and light your face up. And just in terms of, let's say, wool scarves or knitted scarves, again, just invest in good quality scarves, because if you don't, if you buy a cheap knitted scarf, what's going to happen is that after a couple times of wearing it, you're going to see all this pilling, which is, you know, those bubbly things that you get when the knits start getting in contact with, when it starts, through abrasion. So you want to avoid that, and, it will show through. A good quality wool knit scarf is going to take a longer time to pill, and people will notice that immediately. Hats. Okay, the thing about hats is that it could make you either look modern or very old-fashioned. So please avoid the old lady styles, and I'm sure everyone in this call would avoid, you know, looking like the Queen of England. But there are modern styles, and, you know, this is very easy to look if you go into any fashion magazine. There are, you know, berets, beanies, buckets, anything that's more modern is going to give you a chic look while protecting your head and keeping you warm at the same time. And especially for TG women with angular faces, again, as we talked about earlier, you would want to consider hats that are rounded and full, and you want to avoid anything that has tall, narrow, or hard edges within the principles that we were talking about earlier. And gloves, I would say you don't need that many. I myself have one pair of thin wool that I just wear when it's kind of cold and I'm just doing some errands. And then I have a pair in soft leather that you can wear anywhere, really, but then you can also wear to more dressier occasions. And that's it. In terms of coats, I would say get one in a basic color, or a basic color like a black or a brown or a beige, depending on your coloring, or you can go totally the opposite way and go for something that's more eye-catching in either a bright color like a green or a red or even a pattern, because you want the coat to either, you want it to be the focal point.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm glad that we got a chance to talk about this, because it really is so important, your outerwear, especially, you know, if you do have the opportunity to go out and femme a lot in the wintertime, that's the first thing that people see. I mean, that's the focal point of your outfit, is your coat or your jacket and the scarves and all the other accessories that go with that. So I'm glad that we were able to talk about this, and you were able to give us some advice on that, Alice.
Yes.
So what I'd like to do right now, actually, is unmute the lines, and I just want to see if there's anybody out there who wants to speak to Alice directly. So if you have a question, just call out your name, and we will take your question. So just give me one moment here. I'm going to unmute the lines. Okay, we are unmuted. So is there anybody out there that has a question for Alice?
Yeah, my name is Paula. I have a question as to why stay away from any colors of hose other than black or nude?
The whole point of wearing pantyhose is to, besides black, is to enhance the tone of your legs and to make it look as if it's your legs as much as possible. So that's why nude would be the best. And then black, of course, is just standard where you wear, you know, that comes with when you wear black clothing in general. It's just so that it creates a unbroken line. So besides that, there's no reason why you shouldn't wear any colors in the rainbow. But right now as it is, pantyhose is not very fashionable. But there is a workaround with that, and especially in colder weather, you can start experimenting with tights or opaque tights. So they're pantyhose, but they're much more opaque. Then you can start, actually, it's very, very trendy right now, and it comes in, you know, the hosiery market is huge right now, so you can probably go into any store and find all kinds of different patterns and textures and colors. You can certainly do that with tights. I just say, stay away from pantyhose in different colors, but tights is not a problem. Does that clear up your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Paula.
Yes, thank you, Paula. Thank you, Alice. Anybody else out there want to be brave and ask your question to Alice? Now is your opportunity, so let's hear from you. Are we shy this morning? Alice won't bite. She's in New York. Did I hear somebody?
Yeah, not shy, just challenges here. Other silver thing.
Great. Did you have any questions?
I'll email them.
You'll email. Okay. No problem. We will wait for your email then. Okay, so one, we're going once, going twice. Anybody else have a question for Alice? Well, I've actually
got a
few more. Thank you. And actually, Alice, I've got a few more questions for you, so I'm going to mute the lines again. I'm glad that Paula asked her question, and then I'm going to ask the rest of my questions. So let me just mute everybody here again.
Okay.
So, Alice, I wanted to ask you about a few of the fashion rules that a lot of us heard growing up. So you can tell us if these rules still apply or if we can break them. And the first rule is, are you supposed to match your bag and your shoes?
The easy answer is kind of. there's no supposed to in anything, but as with anything, you need to know kind of the rules first before you can start breaking them. So we start with baby steps. So foundationally, people do always say that you should match your shoes with your bag. And it looks great when you do that. However, I do recommend that if you're unsure. But oftentimes, your bag can, as long as your shoes are a basic color, so as long as it's a black or a brown or something that neutral, then you can actually have a bag that's any other color. For instance, I always carry, I usually carry a statement bag because a lot of, almost everything that I wear is black. So I wear, I have a red bag that I'm currently carrying right now. It's like a wine color bag. And I wear black shoes or I wear brown shoes with it because the wine and the brown still kind of goes together. So I would say that when in doubt, do match them. But as long as your shoes are a grounded color or a neutral color, you can wear any color bag. But you do have to make sure that they're still within the same tonal family, meaning that you can't have, and I don't know how far people understand the meaning of cool and warm colors, but you want to have them still in that family. So if I have brown shoes, then I'd want a, let's say I have a warm orange bag instead of like a fire engine red, which would be more of a cool color. So that said, you can actually switch it up the other way, and you can have a black bag or a brown bag, and then you can wear different color shoes. So the easy answer is kind of, yes, you should match it, but after that, after you figure it out, you can really do whatever you want. There's really no rules in fashion, but you do have to know the supposed rules first before you can start breaking them.
Okay, great. Well, another classic rule is not to wear white after Labor Day. Is that true?
Hmm. That one is completely not true anymore. It's over. That was over a while ago. But you can wear white anytime you want. Forget Labor Day, and then there's something with Memorial Day, I think, but no. However, there is a white color in winter called winter white that when there was a kind of a strict fashion rule about not wearing pure white after Labor Day, the fashion designers came out with what they call winter white, which is a warm white. So it's a little bit more of a ivory-ish white than a stark, bright, bleached white. So that's called a winter white. So oftentimes you'll see a lot of that in fashion in the fall. But it doesn't matter. You can wear white anytime you want. But if you still feel uncomfortable, or a lot of people still do think that you can't wear white after Labor Day, so that if they see you wearing that, you know, bright white, they might think that you're like a, you know, you don't know what you're doing. So if that could be a concern, then stick with the winter white or the off-white.
Good. And what about mixing metals? That, you know, generally you hear that you should, if you're wearing gold jewelry, then everything should be gold. You know, the hardware on your bag, zippers, things like that, everything should be in the gold family or
right.
in the silver family. So is that true?
You have some good questions.
I'm challenging you this morning.
This is exactly like the white that we just discussed and about the matching of the shoes and bag situation. So, yes, in a general sense, you should. And I'm kind of guilty of it myself because I have a big gold ring, but almost everything that I wear is silver. Because, again, in the fashion guide, you'll see that between silver and gold, there's going to be one or the other color that's going to flatter your color profile better. I'm a winter person. And I have pretty pale skin, and I have very dark features. And silver is a really good color on me. It's a better metal for me. But I do have this really beautiful gold ring that I wear, and almost everything else that I wear is silver. But that said, the best thing you can mix them together. The best way to do it is to either do one of two things, like I do, wear everything in one metal and then just have one focal piece, like a big ring or something, and you can just wear that one, or mix up the metals everywhere else, so everything is mixed and nothing is going to pop out too much. So if you have necklaces that have gold and silver metal colors combined together, then that's good. Or if you have bangles, then wear bangles with, if you have five bangles, then wear three with silver and two with gold, just to make sure that everything is mixed in together in proper proportion so that nothing's going to stick out.
So that wraps up my questions, and that wraps up the questions that people sent in. Alice, did you have any final parting advice for us, especially as we're going through the guide and incorporating all of this new information into our images?
Yes. First of all, consider all your clothing investments, please, so as you'll see in the fashion guide in the Building Your Wardrobe video, we go through all the classic pieces. We did that because these classic pieces are going to be the foundation, and it's going to give you massive mileage, and with that you can do a lot of things. Once you have that as a foundational wardrobe, okay, with the classics that we are talking about in the fashion guide, then you should start adding some fun pieces that's going to show off a lot of your personality and style, because what this guide is about is, first of all, building a proper foundation and then showing you how to basically express who you are and find your personal style. Like everything we've all talked about today and throughout the guide, dress for your body type, your age, and your lifestyle, because, excuse me, because remember, you're dressing to express who you truly are, okay, and as you are now. So don't be too concerned about the latest trends or what other people are wearing or what celebrities are wearing what, and don't be so concerned about that, because as long as you have a really good idea of what's considered current, and you can be yourself and dress the way that pleases you, it makes you feel feminine and sexy and beautiful, that's all that matters. And that is going to show to, you know, everybody else who you meet. So just make sure to just be yourself and, you know, try to love and accept yourself for, you know, the unique person that you are, and follow the guidelines in the Ultimate in Femme Fashion Guide as we have put out for you. And I really wish you lots of style success. We really did this with a lot of love, and I hope you get a lot out of it.
Yes, and I just wanted to highlight a few of the points that we made in the Image Beyond Wardrobe interview, Alice, about you know, having patience with yourself in this process. It's easy sometimes to want to compare yourself to genetic women, but the thing that you have to realize is that, especially in terms of style, genetic women have had their entire life to experiment with different things. It was just a completely different upbringing. So unfortunately, you didn't have that opportunity, so it's not going to be as easy for you, and you're going to have to make some of the mistakes that Alice and I made when we were a lot younger. So, you know, it's a process. There's so many different components to consider with not just your clothes, but your entire image, your body language, your movement, your voice. So just be patient with yourself. And, you know, we are here to support you. We really validate who you are as women, and we support you 100%. So I just hope that you can accept that love and that support that we have for you, and be patient with yourself and give that to yourself as well, patience and love and acceptance. So that's all I have to say.
And can I just add those, since you're on that subject? You know, everything is a trial and error, but the thing is, when you make a mistake, that is your best teacher ever, because everything that I've done so far that's worked out well is because I figured out what kind of mistakes I was making, not through what I was doing right. Okay, so I think that, it, you know, as you go through this process, everything is going to contribute to your success. So don't be too discouraged if you make a lot of mistakes. I still make mistakes. I'm supposed to be a fashion expert, and I still make mistakes. It's just a part of who we are as people, you know, and you'll just figure out what's good for you. And once you do, you'll know it. You'll feel it. within you. And, you know, the last thing is, you know, genetic women are genetic women, and TG women are TG women. It's really hard. You should never, ever try to compare yourself to them because it's just not the same thing. So just work with what you have, and I hope that you'll find a lot of satisfaction.
Good. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Alice, for being here, and thank you, ladies, for taking time out of your weekend to be here on the call, and we really appreciate your support. And we're here for you, so thank you, and we will talk again soon, I hope. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.